A single pistol shot can stampede a whole herd of cattle over a cliff. That's what panic can do. We face the same panic today, created by socialists in the mainstream media, on the issue of climate change. No one should be against acquiring facts about a possible danger from climate change, but everyone should be against those who pontificate about it without facts on their side. That includes the so-called experts who have locked into the idea that the world is near destruction from man-made emissions, and who have no interest whatsoever in opening their minds to contrasting facts and opinions. Recent events sent me into deep research on this issue. When the world panics because a 16-year-old girl from Sweden blames parents and grandparents for destroying her world and arrogantly scolds the world from a podium at the UN, it's time to signal for a timeout. My commentary research today gives credit to the Daily Signal, Freedom Network News, and Dr. Tim Ball for use of their research and input. As far as liberals are concerned, it's now a self-evident truth that climate change is urgent, catastrophic, and man-made. And the only way to stop it involves massive government intervention. It's not surprising that liberals view the issue as urgent, given that they believe such absurdities as that man-made global warming is irreversibly cooking our planet, melting the ice caps, creating climate refugees in the tens of millions, and will ultimately result in Manhattan being underwater. Suddenly, it makes a little sense why they want us to go back to the Stone Age by leaving the world's natural resources in the ground to stop climate change. Currently, these chicken littles have gotten kids all inflamed against their parents and grandparents, accusing them of destroying their world. Dr. Tim Ball pointed out that we can include all the students participating in the classroom walkouts to demand government stopping climate change, organized by a 16-year-old Swedish girl named Greta Thunberg. Her goal is to keep global temperatures below 2 degrees Celsius, above pre-industrial levels. Apparently, she has no idea that the temperature was near or above that level for most of the last 10,000 years, in a period known as the Holocene Optimum. These young students are taken in by the false claim that a minute amount of human-produced CO2 is effectively controlling the entire atmospheric system since 1950 and causing environmental collapse through global warming. They don't seem to know that there is an upper limit to the amount that CO2 can increase temperature. They don't know that the average level of CO2 over the past 250 million years is 1,200 ppm. They don't seem to know that every projection of temperature by the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change since 1990 was wrong. To paraphrase Winston Churchill, how did so few fool so many to such an extent for so long? Similar situations occur throughout history of people fooling the world. Although this is undeniably the largest in terms of its acceptance, its impact, and its cost, it is tempting to point the finger at so-called experts. But the speed with which this story took hold, spread, and deceived so many people requires a better explanation. It likely won't stop it occurring in the future because it speaks to the nature of human beings and inordinate and pandemic fear that the sky might fall. Moreover, we might stop the current insanity. Global warming, as activities as a subset of the wider moral panic created by the new and necessary paradigm of environmentalism. There are many parallels between the used global warming alarms in such events like the Salem witchcraft trials. However, it was never identified at that time and rarely mentioned by experts today. Instead, a time of poor harvests and social hard times found us looking for something or someone to blame. They believed that unequivocally, humans are to blame for everything. Between February 1652 and May 1693 in Salem, Massachusetts, they brought 200 people to trial on charges of witchcraft. The symptoms were identified first in two young women brought before the tribunal and accused of hearing voices and dancing frenetically to exhaustion. All the classic symptoms of witchcraft. The problem is that those are also the classic symptoms of ergot fungus poisoning. Conditions were ideal for the occurrence of high levels of ergot poisoning, just as they were for other periods of witch hunting in Europe in the Middle Ages. Once people in authority formalized the moral panic through the formation of commissions of inquiry and other vehicles, it takes on a life of its own that ignores facts and logic. In the Salem area, they hanged 19 people, 15 women, 4 men. All this occurred in a society of Puritan people, taking their belief systems to extremes. Today's moral panic is occurring in an equally narrow belief system called environmentalism. Sociologist Stanley Cohen identified the pattern of moral panic in a 1972 book titled Folk Devils and Moral Panics. First, he identified the 5 stages of panic as follows. Number 1. Something or someone is perceived and defined as a threat to social norms and the interests of the community or society at large. News media and members of the community or society then depict that threat in simplistic ways that quickly become recognizable to the greater public. The UN created the IPCC that produced the false science using their computer models that isolated CO2 as the cause of global warming. Then they deliberately distorted their findings by the creation of a summary for policymakers. Widespread public concern was aroused by the way the news media portrayed the symbolic representation of the threat. The IPCC produced a hockey stick kind of graph that rewrote temperature history. It showed no temperature changes for 600 years, followed by a dramatic increase after 1880. That graph became the poster child for global warming. Of course, authorities and policymakers respond to such a threat, be it real or imagined, with new laws and policies. Millions of dollars have been directed to alternative energies, even though a cursory look shows they cannot replace fossil fuels. Meaningful cost-benefits analysis were never done. In most countries, no activity occurs without first receiving unnecessary environmental and climate approval. The moral panic and actions by those in power that follows it results in social change within a community. Energy companies that provided the basis for development that improved the quality of life for everyone on the planet suddenly became the focus of attack, including lawsuits. The car that gave millions freedom, mobility, and wider options became evil on wheels. Cohen then identified 5 key sets of actors involved. The threat that incites the moral panic, which Cohen referred to as folk devils, that folk devil is CO2 coming from those evil, planet-destroying industries driven by their selfish, self-serving profit motive. Enforcers of rules or laws like institutional authority figures, police, or armed forces. The biggest was UN Agenda 21, created through the bureaucrats of national weather offices. They even built a Principle 15 that allows them to act even if there is no evidence to act upon. The news media broke the news about global warming and its threats and continues to report on it, thereby setting the agenda for how it's discussed and attacking visual, symbolic images to it. The mainstream media is the great selector and amplifier of the global warming hoax. Every day they take a normal weather or climate event and say or imply that it is abnormal. An emaciated polar bear was just one example of a visual, symbolic image the media put out. Politicians who respond to the supposed threat sometimes fan the flames of panic. Senator Timothy Wirth, an originator of the public panic, said back in 1993 that, quote, "We've got to ride the global warming issue. Even if the theory of global warming is wrong, we will be doing the right thing in terms of economic policy and environmental policy." Al Gore, from the pulpit of the White House, used the best storyteller in the world, Hollywood, to create the best piece of propaganda ever produced. He called it an inconvenient truth. Now, there is the more hysterical claim from the UN itself and various squirrely prognosticators like Democrat Ocasio-Cortez, who tell us we only have 12 years left. That, of course, produces panic among the public, who blindly accept it and demand action in response to it. But demand for action from a variety of groups across the world has not produced the economy destroying total social control that environmentalists sought. So now they're using the children in the ultimate form of child abuse. History shows us how the Nazis used children to power their propaganda. A poster from those days shows a young girl in pigtails that bears a striking resemblance to Greta Thunberg, whose angry tirade at the UN went far over the top in lecturing adults. Some people will argue that we live in different times, and such moral panic as the Salem witchcraft trials could not possibly occur today. It is true that there is no burning of witches today, but the ostracization from society of those that the mob identifies as climate deniers is only one step away. What cannot be denied is that the world was taken in by a patently false story and overwhelmed by exploitation of fear and guilt that we, the people, are destroying the planet because of our greed and ignorance. A cynical definition of a Puritan is a person who is afraid that somewhere, somebody is having a good time. Environmentalists are the new green Puritans. A young 16-year-old from Sweden has been indoctrinated with false panic, and she appeared before the United Nations to berate parents and grandparents while also demanding that climate change be handled her way. She shouted at the UN delegates, "How dare you?" Somebody has gotten a little too big for their teenaged britches. Instead of attacking parents and grandparents, she should agree to debate scientists who do not buy into this climate change hysteria. Let her demonstrate that her knowledge on the subject is 5 miles wide, but only half an inch thick. Her young followers have been indoctrinated in elementary and middle school, high school, and college, and they have no room in their minds to consider that they may be wrong on climate change. The issue is far from settled science. Do I know for certain that climate change is not affected by mankind? No. I'm still listening to the arguments from both sides. But what I do know is that this man-made hysteria over climate change is a hoax. While there is nothing wrong with exploring the subject of climate change, there is everything wrong with going off half-cocked and spreading panic among the public. Let's move back to the initial belief that climate change is real. The fact of the matter is that no overwhelming consensus exists among climatologists on the magnitude of future warming, man's impact on the climate, or the urgency to reduce carbon dioxide and other greenhouse emissions. In fact, looking at the data from the federal government's own National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change provides plenty of reason to slow down on all this alarmism. There are a number of climate phenomena that activists warn are signs of oncoming catastrophic global warming. Among these alleged markers of environmental doom are increasing hurricanes, widespread floods and droughts, and a sea level rise that would supposedly destroy our coastal communities. That, of course, does not explain why Barack and Michelle Obama would go onto the shore of Massachusetts and buy a $15 million mansion if it's going to be destroyed within 12 years. The most recent scientific assessment is that there is no robust trends in annual numbers of tropical storms or hurricanes and major hurricane counts identified over the past 100 years in the North Atlantic Basin, and that there are no significant observed trends in global tropical cyclone frequency. Further, confidence in large-scale changes in the intensity of extreme extratropical cyclones such as Superstorm Sandy since 1900 is very low. Previous conclusions about increasing trends have been overstated, and compelling arguments both for and against a significant increase in the land area experiencing drought has been hampering global assessment. Evidence has been found for increases, decreases, and no trend at all in flood activity or the severity thereof. So, whatever your theory on climate change and floods, there are studies that will back you up, which suggests that there's a lot of uncertainty on the topic. As far as sea level rise, every year seems to bring on a prediction of imminent sea level rise, dire than the last. But the observed reality does not reflect it. Corresponding to the recovery from the Little Ice Age, sea level has risen about 8 inches in the past 130 years. During this period, the rate of this rise has varied as timescales making identifying exact reasons behind upswings, such as what has been observed over the past few decades, difficult. But whatever the cause, the current rate of sea level rise, about 12 to 13 inches per century, lies far beneath alarmist projections of several feet or more by the year 2100. Former President Barack Hussein Obama proposed a, quote, keep it in the ground, end quote, environmental agenda, which pushed American policy away from cultivating energy from fossil fuels and natural gas. This economic ignorance is alarming as the scientific ignorance will allow. Obama's proposed policy non-solution of avoiding fossil fuels, which his own scientific advisor called unrealistic, would exact significant economic pain on American families and American businesses. Conventional fuels like coal, oil, and natural gas primarily power the American and global economy. These natural resources meet 80% of the world's energy needs because they are affordable and reliable. They also have significantly improved the quality of life and health for billions of people all across our world. Regulating conventional fuels out of existence would raise energy prices that hit families again and again, because almost everything we buy requires energy to make. Ironically, Obama did not suggest that Arab countries keep their fossil fuels in the ground. Not doing so would make America further dependent upon foreign oil. Keeping fuel in the ground keeps the world's poorest citizens trapped in poverty. It would deprive 17% of the world's population who don't have electricity, and 35% who do not have clean cooking facilities, from achieving a better standard of living. The web of denial charade might provide enough hot air to make subsidized windmills spin, but it carries a concerning message that threatens scientific debate and dismisses economic realities. For the past 50 years, socialists have been trying to use the environment as their tool to impose their agenda and policies on the American people and the rest of the world. If there weren't any real environmental crisis, they vowed to create one. Notice that over the past half century, it's Democrats that have mainly taken up the cause of environmental issues, not all real or logical. We should all recognize that when it comes to politicians who identify as Democrats, that they are essentially socialists under the guise of being a Democrat. Since our education system has been more concerned about brainwashing millions of kids to believe in socialism, we see that rise among millennials. In fact, socialism, once a very strong taboo in this country and political career killer in America, has now become more acceptable and is growing in popularity. Case in point, Bernie Sanders, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Representative Rashida Tlaib. Sanders has proclaimed his socialism for several years. He's trying to duck and weave now as he tries to run for president, but he's been on record in favor of socialism for several years. Ocasio-Cortez and Tlaib are the first members of the Democratic Socialists of America to be elected to Congress, and there are more in the ranks to follow their example. It is time for America to take a reality check. Gavin Schmidt, who leads NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies in New York, said this, quote, "All these time-limited frames about global warming are BS. Nothing special happens when the carbon budget runs out or we pass whatever temperature target you care about. Instead, the cost of emissions steadily rise. The thing to push back against is the implicit framing that there is some magic global mean temperature or total emissions that separate fine from catastrophic. There just isn't." End quote. Yes, our climate is changing. But then it's been changing for many, many centuries. There are historical records and indicators of periods of hotter years globally and cooler years globally. It wasn't that long ago that environmentalists were warning us of a new ice age. Many climate experts say that climate change is cyclic and has been cyclic for centuries. The bottom line is that Ocasio-Cortez, Greta Thunberg, and other climate change panickers have no clue what they're talking about with this deadline of 12 years that has no basis in fact. It is nothing more than a political ploy to push a scientific socialist agenda. By using climate change and the environment, Socialists can control every aspect of business, which, in turn, controls the economy and the government. We must not allow ourselves to fall into that trap. I thank you for listening today. I try to find subjects that, with research, can bring light upon that subject to all of us. I implore you that if you have a subject you'd like me to research and include in my commentaries, I'm always available. You can reach me by email at tom@tomjoyner.net. That's tom@tomjoyner.net. I'd also like to hear from you, pro or con, on my commentaries. If they mean something to you, let me know that. If you think I'm off base, I'm willing to listen to that too. I'll be back again, God willing, next week. Same time, same station.